Napoleon
actually had a really good saying. Napoleon is famous for having said, a leader is a dealer in hope. And you know what? Those who have been to the bottom, we have a story to tell. So let's give it up for the ladies here. Let's give them a hand. And Kenny. And listen, why don't you give yourselves a hand? Amen. Amen. You're going to see a general theme here. I like to keep things going, you know what I mean? And I also like to get the applause before, because I don't know if I'm going to get it after. That's for me. So Naomi and Ruth, has anybody seen a Naomi and Ruth presentation before? I'm going to tell you something. I come from a background of Teen Challenge. I graduated Teen Challenge in 2009, and I never left. Some people say I was in month 196 of my program. But all those years I was there, it's a known place. How many people have heard of Teen Challenge? Right. Now, Naomi and Ruth, we're in a whirlwind, guys. We just had a gala where there was 200 people there, and like it raised $100,000 for Naomi and Ruth. We've been doing outreaches all the way to Edmonston, everywhere, and it's the same response from everybody. It's one of the only dedicated Christian women's programs in the whole Maritimes. And that's why we're here. And my mouth is dry. I'm just going to grab my water. Thank you. I didn't want to take that step and break it up. So what happened was I was at Teen Challenge, and I went through a lot of positions there. By the grace of God, I didn't have the education I needed, but God gave me an opportunity. I learned a lot, so I went into nonprofit consulting. And the reason I did that is because nonprofits, how many know there's great programs out there, right? But do they have time to run a great program and raise funds to keep that program going? And that's where the issue comes in. So they can worry about program. Since we got so good at this doing it, we help them out, and it's an amazing synergy. I want my center director focusing on program, right? And so that's kind of in a nutshell. So we also did about, 20 outreaches? Amy... Let's give a hand for Amy. Listen, I've trained a lot of people to do this job over the years, whatever, and it's like 1 in 50. Amy's that one. She's amazing. Are we doing the translations? Slow down a bit, or? Okay. So Amy has been helping with outreach. Listen to this. There's great offerings, whatever, and it's not about the money. It's about the fact that a place like this with up to 15, 16 women, literally we're struggling every month to keep the doors open before this development thing was running. We went from 6 monthly sponsors to 114 in 5 months. Yes. And I'm going to tell you why. Because when people see this program brings me to tears. This program, the stories, you imagine men go out in addiction, the stuff that happens to them. What about the women when they're by themselves in the worst conditions? So people and then they see the hope, and they're so inspired. And so I'm telling you that's what we're here about. We're here talking about a program that literally, there's men and women programs that run together. There's secular programs. You know, the thing that really makes me mad, really makes me angry, There's billions of dollars poured in by programs that don't work. I was down at Maine and Hastings a couple weeks ago. And people are injecting them there. And you know what? The opiate death rate is going up and up and up. And I'll tell you, if I go and apply to a community foundation for a grant for a Christian organization, no. And we're not taking government funding, because when you take the shekels, on come the shackles. And so it does make me angry. But what do you expect from, you know, the Bible says, they put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, and they know not what they do. And so as the body of Christ, God has been doing miraculous things. So I just wanted to get that out of the way. It's a whirlwind. We haven't stopped since May of this year, and it's been fantastic. So the ministry of Naomi and Ruth is for women 18 plus. And now we're going to get into some of the slides. I got the clicker. Wait. Was anybody with me the last time at a clicker? It's not good. This is the center. What do you think? That's the camouflage for confidentiality. That's why we have it that way. I'm just kidding. Or maybe people will volunteer to come cut the trees down. But that's the center. These are the ladies of Naomi and Ruth. Currently, I think it's between 17 and 18 in the program. The one on the right there is Loretta Charter. She's the director. She went through in 2012. Loretta has spent most of her life in prison. And a lot of the girls that come in know her from prison. And they know her from the streets. And she is a spitfire, and she works 16 to 18-hour days. They all live in her house. It's not her house. She's the front. There's this whole house around it. But imagine, there's no real, you don't go home at the end of the day. And she is raising a 4-year-old little girl with autism. Her daughter is an addict. And so, just amazing ministry. Naomi and Ruth, a love story. Anybody know what book that's in? Ruth, is it? Ruth is in the Bible, right? Okay. So, I'm going to contrast this. The Lord put it on my heart. I might have to talk a little slower, but of course, there's Naomi and Ruth. They have no hope. They're at the end of the rope. They have nothing left. They go and they basically throw themselves on the mercy. They find the kinsman redeemer, right? You see the gospel there? And he becomes her kinsman redeemer. And of course, Jesus comes from that line, right? So that's the story of salvation. There's another story that addicts and would even more, I guess, identify with. It came to my heart was the book of Jose. Have you read the book of Jose? Go marry a... Right? That is all. Go through that book and you see where God's love comes in at the end. But we went through a lot of stuff to get there. You see what I'm saying? And we've had our Gomers, and we've been our Gomers, and we've the pain and the pain and the pain that Christians have gone through praying for family members, we are those people. So every day, it's we're on our knees. We repent. We need Jesus every day. Those who owe much will love much. You get what I'm saying? And that just came to me today. So if that's a word for you, read the book of Jose. Is it Hosea? We're going to call it Jose. Now I want to introduce you to Amy works for me, and Ken is a graduate of 5 years clean, and they're going to come up and tell you a little of their story.
Raise the roof!
Good morning, church. I'm Amy Belander, and this is my husband, Kenny. I'm just going to tell you a little about my story and where I come from and how we end up here and married. So I was born and raised in Miramichi. I suffered with mental abuse and physical abuse from men and sexual abuse from men most of my life and most of my childhood. And growing up, it really was something that I carried most of my life. So from the age of 13 and older, I dabbled in drugs and all drugs, any drug that would take that pain, that hurt that was caused as a child. I ended up marrying, having 3 kids, toxic marriage, very mentally abusive and emotionally abusive. And my kids had to deal with that, which made me fall into a worse addiction. So in 2019, or at the end of 2018-19, I fell into a meth addiction. For 2 years, I lost everything. I lost my kids, I lost my family, I lost it all. So in 2021, I put myself into Naomi and Ruth. And at the time, like, I was as far away from God as you could say. I was into witchcraft, New Age, anything that would take that pain away, occult, all of it. And so I remember being in detox in Miramichi saying, I cannot go out of this detox because I will die. Maybe not physically, but spiritually, I will die out there in this world. I remember at the time, I didn't realize it was God, but obviously now I know. I kept hearing, go ask about a rehab. Go ask about rehab. And I went and asked them, and she told me about Naomi and Ruth. And I remember going, okay, we'll call them tomorrow. We'll call and do it. And I remember walking down the hall, and she's like, but I just got to tell you that it's a faith-based rehab. I'm like, I guess that's where he wants me to go. Not even knowing God, those words come out. And since that day, I end up in rehab. I'm 2 years sober, 2.5 years almost sober. I remember in rehab, because my purity was taken at a very young age, I remember I'm taking my purity back, I'm giving it to God, and that's going to be it. Maybe I'll never get married again. I actually thought I would never get married again because I never wanted to go through that pain and that hurt that I went through for most of my life. And so fast forward, after given to God and letting it happen, I end up meeting Kenny. I end up moving back. I moved away to work at other place after I graduated Naomi and Ruth, but I got a calling back to Naomi and Ruth to work there again. And so the same week I come back to Naomi and Ruth, I was at a church service and Kenny was there. And I remember thinking, who's this man? Like, really nice man, never really spoke to him, didn't know much about him at all. And within 3 weeks, we ended up connecting, and I knew from our first time meeting, we went for coffee, and then we prayed and read the Bible at the end of the night, and I knew, I'm like, this is a man God has for me. I guess this is it. I guess there is a chance. There's another chance. And since then, life has been a whirlwind of blessings, and we stayed plugged in. We did what God wanted us to do. We were married within 8 months of meeting each other, we got married. But the restoration with our kids and our family and just the blessings in our relationship and what God has done in this short period of time has blessed me tremendously. And I work with the ladies each and every day. Not only in my development with Mike, I've been working upstairs with the ladies for 2 years. Like, I've been up there. And I absolutely love it, and to be able to speak life into them, to speak that into them, that we don't need to give it to just anybody. If we save and we wait for what God has for us, like, this is a blessing. This is what comes out of it. We don't need to just run to anybody that loves us, because God loves us. And if we got to let him love us first before we can love anybody else. So that's just a bit of my story. And I'm going to let Kenny talk. He'll share a little bit of his story and where his past is.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah. Good morning, church. I'm a little shy, so I'm probably going to keep this short and sweet. I'm Kenny Belanger. I'm 39 years old. I'm originally from Grand Falls, New Brunswick, which is 4 hours up north. I come to this world pretty much drug addicted from birth, right? So I come out addicted to cocaine and had the umbilical cord around my neck. So that's how I started out. And at the age of 4, my biological father passed away. So then my mother ended up going to jail. So I ended up in foster care at a very young age. God blessed me at a young age with a good foster home. I got adopted at the age of 12 years old. But as in my teenage years, that's pretty much where all my problems started stemming out. And then it led to addictions. And things just got out of control from there, just losing friends and jobs and everything that I had worked for. I moved away to Ontario to try to run away from my problems, and it don't really matter where you go, your problems kind of follow you. So coming back to New Brunswick and trying to rebuild everything, I had a friend that went through a program in Moncton called the Harvest House, so I plugged in there. I went through the program in 2019, I graduated there, so now I'm 4 years clean. I work full-time as a commercial overhead door technician. I volunteer on my side with the men's side down at Shekinah, which is in Moncton. I help Amy out. But God's just been so good ever since I surrendered to him and putting in the work. It's just been blessing upon blessing in my life and anybody around me. And I'm just so grateful for it. And I just want to thank you guys.
We love you, Ruth and Boaz.
Sorry, just kidding.
Yeah, it's a sad state of affairs. You know, one thing I can say, one stat is the first 10 years out of Teen Challenge, I lost 5 close friends. In the last 2 years, I've probably lost 25, 30. Fentanyl. I went down to Maine and Hastings, like I said. It's the size of a grain of salt will kill you. And they're playing Russian roulette with an automatic. It is a dangerous drug, and it's flowing in here like crazy. And what's happening now are the drugs are being mixed. So if somebody is doing crack cocaine, they might have fentanyl mixed in it. Meth. You're taking meth, there's fentanyl. Fentanyl, meth, crack. Like, it's getting to the, it's a pandemic. And it went from, you know, let's say a rough number would be, you know, 500 deaths maybe 20 years ago. Like, there are literally tens of thousands of deaths per year now. And it skyrocketed 400% during COVID. It's crazy. So beware. This is, it's coming to Moncton, it's coming to Shediac, it's coming to everywhere. We know it, we see it, we're in the front lines. Little about Naomi and Ruth. I believe that first stat is wrong. At least a quarter of served prison sentences. I think it's more like half. High percentage of the ladies have been victims of sexual abuse. Most have lost family under violent circumstances or to drug overdoses. Many have family with loved ones carrying large prison sentences. And it's like reading from the ladies I've talked to since I've been here. I need some water, sorry. The night of the gala, a very special person to us, normally is on my outreaches weekly. We were getting ready to do our stuff, and she got a phone call, and it was her 18-year-old son died of an overdose. A girl in the program. I have an 18-year-old son. I can't imagine what that would have been like. And so, you know, you see when I'm mentioning the Hosea type story, there's so many things that we experience before, during, and after. But you know what? God is in the redemption business. I just have a bunch of slides. By the way, I didn't know what slides were in here, so we had a different PowerPoint we were going to use, but we're going to have the ladies come up. We're going to have Avery. Rebecca, are you doing it? Okay, so you guys, everybody come on up, and I'm going to step back. This, you got the red mic?
What is reality? Is it on? Reality is being kidnapped, choked, and suffocated to near death, internally begging for mercy while you're staring in the eyes of a man telling you that you're going to die. It's selling everything you own, including your body, so that you can numb your pain with drugs. Reality is admitting you're suicidal, spending 3 months under a psychiatric evaluation, which results in your children going into foster care and now being adopted. Reality is waking up in a bathtub, on the floor, or in the back of an ambulance after a suicide attempt, drug-induced seizure, or overdose, wondering how and why you're still alive. It's feeling so alone, weak, and vulnerable that you fall into the wicked schemes of the devil and begin to worship him. Oh, how do I know that's reality? Because that was me.
What is reality? Reality is loving your birth parents so much that they sexually abuse you on your visits with them, which results in, to feel loved, selling your body to men for your next fix. Reality is living on the streets in Niagara Falls, Ontario, being in a psychosis, and having marks all over your body from the use of drugs. Reality is having people so scared for their lives that they throw you down the stairs and break your collarbone. Reality is picking a hole in your head from the use of methamphetamine, being minutes away from death, and being hospitalized for 3 months. How do I know that's reality? Because that was me.
Reality is crashing two cars while underneath the influence of alcohol and cocaine. Reality is selling everything for your next fix. Reality is losing your family because of addiction. Reality is having your dog taken away from you because you couldn't even take care of yourself. Reality is being so broken you lie, steal, and cheat from the ones you love. How do I know that's reality? Because that was me.
So although we've all suffered from different realities, we are all saved by the same truth, which is God. Jeremiah 29, verse 13-14 says, "If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes." The truth is, I'm taking back what the enemy stole from me and restoring my life and my family. Malachi chapter 4, verse 6 says that the Lord will return the hearts of the children back to the parents and the parents' hearts back to the children, or he will strike upon the land with a curse. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1, it says, "Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine." And Isaiah 43:13 says, from eternity to eternity, I am God. No one can snatch anyone out of my hand.
Truth is, since March of this year, I've been sober for 9 months. With the love that God has given me, he's made me a new woman. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. I now have sisters in Christ that love and trust me. And Psalms 147:3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds.
Truth is, Acts 2:25-27. I always see the Lord near me, and I will not be afraid with him at my right side. Because of this, my heart will be glad, and I will live in hope. Truth is, being 2 months sober at Naomi and Ruth. Amen. Truth is, Titus 2:12, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly possessions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present with the Lord. Truth is, restoring my relationships with my family, or God restored my relationships with my family. And truth is, being able to be happy because God saved me and he loves me.
Yes. And Jesus said that you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
You've heard the saying, trophies of grace. Check this out. It's some guy. I don't know who the guy is, but he said, there's a crack in every vessel. That's how the light gets in, right? We're all broken. And you know what? Like, every day I'm like, that person went through addiction, right? But you see them 6 months ago or 8 months ago or 9 months ago or a year ago. It's unreal. You know, so many stories that I've seen. One guy came in when I was at Teen Challenge. His legs were that big around from alcohol. We thought he was going to die within 3 days. He's now graduated like 14 years. Guys, there's capacity for 18. That stat's wrong. We can't keep up with the stat. There's over 150 women on the waiting list for this program. And that's not normal. God is at work at Naomi and Ruth. There's programs where they have empty, even Christian programs, empty beds, but there's 150 ladies waiting to get in this program. It's about 40 minutes and we'll be done, okay? Just kidding. We're almost done. That's just about the program. It's a 12-month program. If people have heard of Shekinah, stuff like that, those are programs they go to. Worship is a huge... Worship breaks bondages. So worship's a huge thing with us. Essential skills. Recently, the girl we were talking about, actually, with her son... She does everything. Like, she'll run around, get everything done. So we got her to start a work detail. So in the afternoon, they were busy. You got to keep occupied. So great things are happening. They do the Overcomers curriculum. It's through the Canadian Bible Society. And we have, Tiffany McGraw is actually on our board. Prayer, listen. I'll tell you, when I first got there, I said prayer and worship. I could hear them singing angelically at night, like at 9 at night. And I could also hear them singing in the morning. Not as angelic, maybe. But, yeah, singing. Yeah, you can laugh at that. It's okay. Fellowship. Joy for the journey. The thing to know about it is a journey. When you get done 12 months of a program have you arrived? You're just beginning. I, being at 15 years, it doesn't, I tell everybody, the people look at it linear. You're here, you fall back, now you're back here. You're here, you're a failure if you fall here, right? You know, you fall behind, you lose a job. It's not linear. In Jesus, it's circular. Anytime you're in Jesus, you're in success. You're right where you need to be. So forget the linear thing. It's not, that's not what life's about. Life's about that one day. And the journey, I mean, you know, imagine what people go through in a year, living with a bunch of other people, leaving their kids behind. There's iron sharpening iron, I tell you, you know, quite a bit. And that slide, yeah, I'm just going to get some other slides. Families restored. You know how many times I've seen families, you know, they get divorce papers in the program and then get back together. And, you know, men going back to their marriage after a year, women returning to their families. I've worked with every center across Canada for Teen Challenge. I've worked with Naomi and Ruth. I recently worked with Joshua House in BC. It's 115 guys. There's everybody, families are reconciled through these programs, believe me. Your support is encouraging. We are like 10 minutes from the center. We need volunteers. We need people praying for us. We need people to come alongside. It's a small center. And, you know, if we need something fixed, there's a few ladies that have those skills, and I'm not one of them. And another thing, giving back hope. We've been starting to do, like, catering. And the one church we went to, Eglise de la Grace, it was because they needed a room painted. We wanted to paint the room, and so we went in and did a service. But I'm going to invite Rebecca up to give her story. So give her a hand. We'll be done after that.
Hi. My name is Rebecca Robichaux, and I'm from Minto, New Brunswick. I've spent most of my life feeling very abandoned by my birth father, and I've suffered with depression and with anger almost my whole life. I've been in and out of toxic relationships, abusive relationships, both mentally and physically, spiritually. I ended up going into addiction and losing everything, losing my car, my job, school, my house, my family, my stepchildren, and my daughter. I've been in recovery now for about 4 years, and I was a very spiritual person before coming to God, but sorry, I'm a little bit nervous. I've never given my testimony before. So I was very spiritual before coming to God, but when I felt the Holy Spirit, I knew that was the Holy Spirit, and I've never felt anything like it in my life. I've been in and out of program over the last 2 years at Naomi and Ruth. I've completed a 9-month program and also a 3-month program. The program now is a 12-month program, a whole year, and then the refresher would be a 6-month. So I'm just really just surrendering myself now completely to God. I know that's where I go wrong. I've gotten so much healing, so much counseling, so much love through the program, but it's like I just don't completely surrender. I'll always usually work during the program in a worldly job. And that I feel is distracting to me of the calling that God has on my life, which I know is a huge calling, big calling for sure. So I'm just here now again doing the program. Naomi and Ruth is like my family. The girls are like my family. Loretta Charters, the director, is like a mom to me, and she opens the door every time for me, anytime God opens those doors. And I'm just so happy. I'm so blessed. I've gone through a few things over the past few years, like my five-year-old daughter being diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, and she's now dependent on insulin. God was there through the whole thing with her and with me. Her father actually died last year of a drug overdose, and God has been there. God has been moving even in my daughter's life. She's 9 years old, and he's been moving in her life. And the pastor that did his funeral, he's been coming over, doing suppers with his parents, and my daughter brought her a children's Bible and just talking to her about how her father's in heaven with God. And I've been praying for things like that, for God to just move in her life, just where I am, just a little bit away from her. I had a hard time with accepting to put it all in God's hand. I wanted to still do my plans. I thought that once I graduated a 9-month program that I'd be going right back to Minto with my daughter, and that's not what God wants me to do. But I just thank you, God, for everything that you're doing in my life, and I just thank you for giving me the strength and for giving me the courage to come up here and share my testimony. Thank you.
Beauty from the ashes. Have you seen that here today? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Resurrection power. You know, reiterate, you don't know, you know, when people tell you how many people were in induced comas, weren't expected to make it more than once, that are in our program. We got 5 minutes and then we'll be done. You know, what are those things that, here, 25, I'm going to do that now. Just kidding. Oh, that scripture said he brought them out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Very fitting scripture for today. Yeah, there's graduation. There it is, yeah. We need your help. I don't know if that was Kenny or not. Everybody got one of these? This is our brochure. Basically, it's a way to support us. It's very simple and straightforward. I made it that way because otherwise I wouldn't understand it. Now, here's the thing to know about this. When I explained monthly donors equal sustainability. Okay? What does that mean? When gifts aren't coming in, and when, you know, everybody's on vacation or whatever, a monthly wheel of donors keeps the food on the table, keeps the people in the program, keeps the staff available. And so if we would encourage you, it's very simple. All you got to do is fill out the back. We have a machine at the back as well. You just fill it in. You can go by check or by credit card or by whatever way you like. Also, putting down the information allows us to send you info. But I'm going to explain something. Listen, if you drink three cups of coffee a day, stop one and sponsor one of these people, okay? And if you drink 4 or 5 cups a day, we have a bed for you. But no, listen, it's the cost of one Tim Hortons a day. Or one Starbucks a month, either way. We have one-time gifts. I want you guys to take a minute. We didn't ask for an offering. We actually want you to fill these forms out. Maybe we can have worship come back up or the pastor. But fill these forms out or see us at the table. And we'd really like you to sponsor. Here's another thing to consider. I made a challenge of 200 sponsors by the end of the year. Okay? That is not sponsors in the sense of 200 people. It's somebody's going to give 25. You don't have to give 50. We have tons of people giving 250. It's up to you, but maybe the person that's giving 25, maybe you help out by giving 100 or whatever it is. It's what the Lord puts on your heart. But I will tell you that we will never come to the end of the year and go, we're all going to Hawaii, right? It's $50,000 to $80,000 a year for one person to go through the program. and we don't receive government funding. So we want to get 200 monthly donors at $50 a month. That's not 200 people. You know what that equals out to? $10,000 a month, which is basically what covers our cost for the month. And so we'd really love to get you involved in that. But really, also pray for us. Come get involved with the ladies. They're just down the street. And I think we've made such a powerful connection. Me and Fern were talking a few months ago, then we got sidebarred. But don't you just love Pastor Fern? Give him a hand. I love Pastor Fern. All right. And myself, on behalf of Naomi and Ruth, we love you guys. You're a great church. God bless you. Switching the slides, Oh, one more thing I forgot to mention. So I forgot to mention this. A donor, one of the bigger donors, gave a huge amount. So when you sponsor 50, you're actually sponsoring 100. He's matching it. You give 200, he's given 400. He's matching that. And so it's a great, he's very much believes in this program, but I'll leave it at that. And here's the remote clicker in case I keep clicking it. You want me to sit down or?
No.
He's okay. Got me by the throat, folks.
Amen. On est béni avec une bonne présentation, n'est-ce pas? C'était vraiment bien. C'était vraiment bien. Thank you. We are blessed with that presentation. Really, really good. On avait mis, puis on avait dit qu'on allait faire une offrande. Alors, j'aimerais qu'on pourrait passer pour une offrande qu'on pourrait leur donner, mais aussi aller derrière les voir et remplissez ce pamphlet si vous voulez donner. Oh, thank you. Si vous voulez donner à tous les mois, alors remplissez, allez les voir derrière et on va passer une offrande pour les aider. So, vous pouvez les passer maintenant. Et dans le temps qui passe, l'offrande, while they're passing an offering, I'd like to ask each one of you to come and stand in the front, facing the congregation, you too.
You bet.
And I'd like us to pray for them. C'est dans notre communauté, hein? C'est dans notre communauté qu'on a ces centres ici. It's in our community that we have these women, that we have this center for the people that need it. And there's, like he was saying, there's so many people that do need it. So we need to pray for them. We need to surround them in prayer. Je vous prie, if you can go help, please go help. They need the help.
I didn't mention there's a table back there with all their stuff.
Il y a un table en arrière avec tout le stuff que vous pouvez avoir. Alors, s'il vous plaît, tendez votre main puis on va prier pour eux. Stand a hand and we're going to pray for them. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord Father, for this ministry. For this ministry, for the women. Lord Father, we thank you, Lord Father. And who else can we turn to but you, Lord Father? Those mountains are so high that we cannot move them, but in you, Lord Father. In you, those mountains can be moved, Lord Father. Those hearts can be restored. Families can be restored. Father, we pray blessings. We pray blessings upon that center. We pray blessings, Lord Father, upon the giving, upon the finance, upon the health, Lord Father. We pray, Lord Father, that they can even expand, Lord Father, because so many more beds are needed. So we pray, Father, that you put your hand upon each one of these girls, Lord Father. I pray blessings. And I thank you, Lord Father, that you restored their lives. I thank you for the sharing that they did, Lord Father, for what you did in their lives. We thank you, Father, and we pray, Lord Father, that you keep surrounding them. We keep the path straight in front of them, Lord Father, where you want them, Lord Father. So I pray a special blessing, Lord Father, upon Saint Naomi and Ruth. A special blessing. Surround that place. Surround that place with an edge of protection and your Holy Spirit to fill them. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. Bonne semaine. Amen.
And by the way, after we get sustainable, yes. We are doing a capital campaign for building.
Amen.
Look at the waiting list, right?
Glory, yeah. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you.